Uncanny Japan is author Mi Terisa Matsura exploring all that is weird from Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales, cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing. And I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Terry, and I'd like you all to reach over and knock on wood. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I'm actually getting the podcast out on a schedule this year. And that schedule is a new episode on the 15th and 30th of every month, or thereabouts. Okay, don't look back, it's not exact yet, but it is gravitating that way. Listen, hear that? Rain again. And again, it's welcome because today's topic is a creature that just loves the water. The kappa. Kappas are pretty cool, and I'm going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Later on, and I'll let you know when, I'm going to tell you about the kappa's obsession with butts. And I'll briefly mention dead bodies floating down rivers and all that entails. It might get a little gross, so a heads up there. But before we get to all that fun stuff, for those of you who don't already know, let me describe what a kappa looks like by telling you quickly about the first time I ran across one. I was just married and we were visiting Mount Fuji, probably one of the five lakes. We were exploring and came across a shrine, and next to it was this smallish wooden structure, tall and narrow. Obviously, it was very old, aged wood covered in moss. But what drew my attention was that all across the front, there were these bars. I wonder what they don't want to escape, I joked, and went over to investigate. There, behind the bars, was this tall, dark, frightening statue. It was standing upright, but not human. It had webbed hands and feet, a thick beak for a mouth, with wild, spiky hair sticking all over the place. It also had what looked like a large shell on its back. But what I remember most were these really scary, penetrating eyes. I remember it had this presence about it that gave me goosebumps. I was told that the creepy, caged creature was a kappa, but that wasn't enough information. With no internet to consult, I began asking everyone I could find what a kappa was and what did it do. This was actually my first experience with a Japanese yokai, and it still has a special place in my heart. Speaking of yokai, the kappa is one of the big three. If you remember me talking about them in past episodes, the other two being the oni, I talked about them a little in episode 37, and the tengu, episode 32 and 34. The kanji for kappa is the character for river and child. River child. Now remember that because it's going to come back later in a horribly grotesque way. Kappa also go by other names like Kawataro, Kawako, Kawarambe, and Gataro. Like I said, the kappa love and live in water. You name it, rivers, lakes, ponds, and sometimes there are stories of them dwelling along the coast. While they live in water and need it to survive, they can also come on land to play pranks or wreak havoc. A little more description before I go on. They're usually the size of a child aged around 6 to 9 years old. Bipedal, but not always. Sometimes they can be seen scampering about on all fours. Their skin is green or yellow, slimy and sometimes scaled. I mentioned the webbed hands and feet, thick parrot-like beak, and tortoise shell on their backs. One thing I didn't notice in the statue at the shrine that first time is that all that spiky hair surrounds an indentation on the top of their heads. It holds water, or some say a magic liquid. That's important because kappa are super strong. Strong enough to pull large farm animals like horses and cows into the water and drown them. They also love playing sumo, and if not doing more heinous things, might challenge you to a round. No matter how strong you are, though, even though these guys are short and scrawny, you'll lose. Like I said, they're way strong. and it's believed that the water on the top of their heads is what gives them their enormous strength. If that water ever dries up or spills, they'll become very weak and easily defeated or captured. Now, what do Kappa do? Are they good guys or bad guys? While these days you can very often find cute, bubbly, goofball Kappa on everything from pencil cases, keychains, or appearances in adorable manga and anime, their real character is much more horrific. Before we go full horror, though, some more lighthearted stuff. Kappa are very good with medicine, especially bone setting. There have been stories of people who have captured a Kappa and only released the beast when it promised to teach them some medicine or bone-setting stuff. This seems to have happened a lot during the Edo era. Kappa also love cucumbers, especially the tiny little flowers that bloom on the vines. If you've ever eaten a Kappa maki, a cucumber stick rolled in sushi rice, and you didn't know before, now you know how it got its name. Have you ever heard of or been to Tokyo's Kappabashi? It's the area between Ueno and Asakusa where you can visit if you want anything cooking or restaurant related. Pots, pans, utensils, lanterns, and those super realistic food samples too. Now, there are at least two stories about how it got its name, Kappabashi. One is that it came from the word kappa, a Portuguese word adopted by the Japanese that means raincoat. I've read that it refers to the straw raincoats worn back in the day, but I still hear people all the time referring to their raincoat as their kappa. So the story goes there was a kappa salesman, a kappaya, and that's how Kappabashi got its name. Since it's a homophone for the yokai kappa, the area has taken the kappa as its mascot. You can find statues and signs of kappa all up and down the street, as well as a shrine, the kappadera. But there is also a second story about how, way back when, the area was mostly farmland that flooded easily. The story here is that in the late 1700s, there was a man named Kihachi who used his entire savings on the construction of a canal to prevent flooding in the area. It was so expensive and taking way too long. Then one day, suddenly, a kappa swam up from the Sumida River to help. It was a kappa, evidently, that Kihachi had saved years before. The kappa did what he could, and the construction was finished, and a kappa temple was built. It's still there today, and I've been several times over the years, and always there are offerings, like piles of offerings, of cucumbers piled up in front of the temple. It's called Sōgenji. It's also said to house a mummified kappa hand or arm. I actually have a personal story about how my son, when he was 4 years old, and his friends were invited to Kappadera for this special ceremony. I tried to put it in this episode, but it got real long, so I'll just put it up on Patreon for my buddies over there. Okay, now let's get gory a little bit. Kappa can also be real jerks. They're known to drown people and animals, but especially children who play unattended in water. This drowning by a kappa has a name, Gappadoko. Remember that kappa love cucumbers? Well, I read that sometimes mothers used to write the name of their children on cucumbers and drop them into nearby rivers and lakes as a kind of offering to the kappa, asking it to please spare their child's life if he or she happens to go swimming there. You can still find signs near bodies of water with an image of a kappa on them, warning children not to swim there. Some believe the whole idea of the kappa was a way for parents to scare children from unattended water play and possible drowning. Now for the butt talk. There is a mythical ball that is said to reside inside everyone's rectum. It's called the Shirikodama, and kappa just love this. Shiri meaning butt, and dama meaning ball. They also love stealing it from people who are swimming in water. But when they do, the person dies. I read a slightly different version that states that they actually remove the Shirikodama so that they can get to the person's liver, which they suck out. No matter, mythical or not, it's something you don't want to lose. When you're looking at paintings or images of a kappa, you will sometimes see it's holding a cucumber or perhaps something round like a ball. That round thing is the shirikodama that it has just pulled out of some poor now-deceased victim. I always like to try to figure out how these creatures came about. Something had to inspire these beasties and their stories. A very interesting one is that the image of the kappa is based on the first sightings of Portuguese monks who landed in Japan in the 16th century. Japan had never seen such people. The tops of their heads were shaved, hair sticking out all around the bald spot, bigger noses than they were used to, I'm guessing, and they wore robes that had long hoods dangling from their backs, possibly resembling a shell. Another particularly grotesque theory is about how, again, back in the day, unwanted children were sometimes thrown into rivers to be carried away. Perhaps downstream, other children would run across these poor things, freak out, run home, and the mother might have said to stay away from the river. Those are river children. Kappa. A theory about the Oshirikodama that I think is kind of brilliant, albeit gross, is that when people drown, naturally, as they decay, their, shall I say, bottom orifice expands. Again, maybe hundreds of years ago, when these poor souls were fished out of the water and this was noticed, someone came up with the idea that perhaps a kappa had reached in to grab something. What? An Oshirikodama, of course. Okay, let me wind up with a couple kappa sayings. The first one is kappa no kawa nagare, or even a kappa can get carried down a river and drown. Kappa are very skilled swimmers, obviously. So the saying basically means even an expert can make a mistake. Kappa no kawa nagare. There is another one that's he no kappa or kappa no he, a kappa's fart. Kappas fart, and they do it a lot, evidently. So when something is very easy to do or much ado about nothing, you can say he no kappa or kappa no he. So there you have it, the kappa, the slimy, dastardly, sometimes adorable Japanese aquatic beastie. Thank you for listening, and if you like the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Even a little bit is very much appreciated. For only $5, you can get a monthly bedtime story translated, retold, and narrated by me. There's also occasional binaurally mic'd sounds, behind-the-curtain Patreon-only episodes. For example, I'm going to put up the story about how I brought Halloween to my neighborhood in a big way. Toddlers dressing up like a kappa and an invitation to kappadera. Oh, and also for $5 or any amount, you can get an Uncanny Japan sticker. Just let me know and I'll send that your way. Thank you again for listening, supporting, reviewing, reaching out, and otherwise rooting for me. It means a lot. Everybody stay safe and healthy. And I will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Psst. Hey, do you like scary stories? Or maybe you don't do full-on horror, but enjoy a nice dark tale. Something creepy involving Japanese folklore and superstition? Well, if that's the case, you can sneak on over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy books and look for my two short story collections, A Robe of Feathers and The Carp-Faced Boy. All you need to do is search for Teresa Matsura. Let me spell that for you. Teresa Matsura. Another place you can find me doing things is on Patreon. There, once a month, for my $5 and up patrons, I translate, retell, and record obscure Japanese folktales. Some are dark, some are humorous, some are just weird. And lastly, another super sweet thing you can do is to write a review on iTunes. By doing this, you help like-minded people find Uncanny Japan. It's a little thing, but it means a lot, and it's a great big help. Thank you. I'm Teresa Matsura, and I'll talk to you soon.